Stand with me, if you will. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 16. Luke 4, verse number 16. And we're going to read in a little bit Isaiah chapter 61. But Luke 4, number 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This is part three in our Let It Be Healed series. And this is, that's why Jesus came. That's the title of the message this morning. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, as his custom was, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And while he's there, Jesus is looked upon as an up-and-comer. They looked at him as somebody who has potential. He takes part in the services as normally. He's somebody who has authority when he teaches. He knows what he's teaching about. And so the people, the leadership in the synagogue, they look at Jesus and they use him in different parts of the service. And he's asked by leadership on this particular Sabbath day to take part in the reading of the scripture. And on this particular Sabbath, the person who hands Jesus the scroll takes one from the book of Isaiah. Jesus didn't pick it out, but the scroll was handed to him. Did you see that? The scroll was handed to him. And Jesus, as he began to read, as he often did before, something was different this Sabbath day. Something changed. It was just, there was something different about this Sunday. Aren't you thankful when something different happens? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He didn't cancel volleyball that Sunday, praise God. You see, nobody else knew in that synagogue what had just taken place in the life of Christ right before that Sabbath day. If you look in the book of Luke chapter 4 at the beginning, Jesus had been led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And remember what took place in that time of fasting. He was tempted by the enemy. The devil came and tried to intensely tempt Jesus to take some shortcuts and use his power for personal gain. But Jesus, every time the enemy tempted him, what did he do? He went to the Word of God. And Satan realized his attempts to get Jesus caught up in a trap were futile. And finally, after the third time, the enemy, Satan, left him for a season, left Jesus alone. But Jesus, after that 40 days of fasting and praying, returns to his hometown, but he's full of the power of the Spirit. Praise God. He's full of the power. Come on, somebody. I said he was full of the power of the Spirit. So Jesus, having just had this experience in the wilderness, he's up there getting ready to read in the synagogue. They hand him this passage from the book of Isaiah, and he gets to that part where he's reading from the prophet. He gets to verses 18 and 19 here in Luke as we read it. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closes the book. Praise the Lord. He does a mic drop. Amen. Boom, you know. There you go. You've got it. Praise God. I can't drop this mic. It's worth too much money. He had a mic drop moment there, and the people look at him and they're in awe and wonder. He's teaching with such authority and power. And when they look at him, Jesus says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Hallelujah. Now, those who heard, they did not respond favorably, but there were many who would recognize him for who he truly is. Praise the Lord. Eventually, they would recognize in that moment, there is something different. There's something powerful in what he is saying. And it wasn't just that they were reminded of the Messiah that was to come. There were some in the synagogue that day, help me preach, that looked at him and said, "The Messiah is come." Praise the Lord. He is the one that the scripture talks about. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit reveals to us who Jesus is. And this morning, through the power of the Spirit, I hope that I can deliver to you who Jesus is. He is your hope. Amen. He is your reason for jubilee. He is your reason for joy. He's the answer to everything that you need. And Jesus came to heal your soul. Jesus came to heal your body. Jesus came to heal your spirit. In Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2, there's a messianic prophecy there. It's tucked away there at the end of the New Testament. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." I'm so thankful that Jesus came as our healer. Can I hear an amen? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there's a concept in the Old Testament. I preached a series on it earlier this year, and I hope I get to preach on it again soon. But there's a concept called the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. Every 50th year, they would have to turn everything back to the way it was. If you had lost your land, you got to reclaim it. If you had lost your family, you got to reclaim them. It was a year where God just restored things. Hallelujah. And that's what healing is. It's God restoring things to their proper place. And when Jesus stood up here in this passage of scripture, many commentators believe that he was telling the people there that your jubilee is here. Glory to God. Your restoration is here. Your hope is here. Amen. Your healing is here. So whatever the reason you came into this house this morning, walking through a valley, walking in darkness, suffering, mourning, just depressed and weary, I've got good news. That's why Jesus came. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Jesus stopped reading in Luke chapter 4. He stopped reading prior to the end of the entire passage of Isaiah chapter 61. Some may have a more founded opinion than I, but I believe Jesus stopped reading because he knew that the people who were listening to him would recognize he was talking about the entirety of that passage. Let me read the entirety of that passage in Isaiah chapter 61. If we can put it on the screen back there, verses 1 through 4. There's a lot more to it than just even that, but I want to read Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 4. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And I love verse 4. "And they shall build the old wastes. They will rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations." That sounds like healing, doesn't it? That sounds like Jesus came to heal, to repair, to restore, to reclaim, and to revive. But I want to talk about one aspect of this morning, and then tonight we'll talk about two other aspects of it. But I feel I don't want to ever assume that I know everybody in the crowd, and I don't want to ever assume that I know what everybody is dealing with. I don't want to assume that I know everybody's spiritual state, But the Lord wanted me to remind some people that he came to heal your soul from sin. Amen. Hey, man, I'm glad he's a Savior. He's the Savior. See, when he said he came to preach glad tidings to the meek or the gospel to the poor, he's talking about he came to bring good news to people who were helpless and powerless to accomplish an end. People who were destitute materially or spiritually. That sounds like people who were in the midst of a miry clay that they couldn't get out of. It describes people depressed in circumstances or mind that are weak or afflicted. It also describes people who are in a place that they cannot get out of on their own. Sin was a place that I couldn't get out of on my own. Lord, help me preach today. When I was a sinner, I needed a Savior. Amen. When I was in sin, no good thing that I could do could bring me to a place of true salvation and of true satisfaction of the justice of God. The only way that I could be set free was that Jesus himself came down from the throne of heaven and offered his life as a ransom for many, but also for me. Praise the Lord for that awesome gift that Jesus came to set sinners free. Now, not very many people set out in their life to be poor, all right? Nobody has it as their goal. When I grow up, I want to be poor. I don't think. You know, people desire to have things. They desire to supply for themselves. They desire to have shelter and to have a vehicle and to have clothes. Not that they desire to be rich, but they desire to have enough to make it through life and not have to beg and not have to take out a loan and not have to ask for assistance and ask for help. Nobody desires to be poor. Nobody desires to be poor in health. If you go to the hospital today and go to every room and you asked those patients and you said, was this your life plan to be here today? They would all say, I hope they would all say, no, it wasn't our plan. We didn't set out to be sick and ill and be unable to take care of ourselves. You ask every addicted person if they could go back to that place where they were right in their mind. And you said, is this your life goal? Was this your plan to be strung out on drugs, to be addicted to heroin? And was this your plan to be an alcoholic? Every single one of them would say, no, this wasn't my plan. But still we find ourselves poor and helpless and powerless to make a difference in our own lives. But that's why Jesus came. I love how Sister Sharon got up on our Thanksgiving service and quoted John 3:16. I'm so thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see what that means is that God knew that outside of his son, there was no way that any of us could come to a place where we would not perish. We would all fall short of the glory of God. We would all go to hell and die eternally, but he sent his son, amen, to die on our cross, to shed his blood for our sin because he loves us. That's why Jesus came. Rick Warren said, if you want people to know how much you love them, you can't send a representative to communicate it. That's what God did at Christmas. Now, I can't tell my kids, go tell mama I love her. Amen. She might appreciate that once or twice, but after a while, she's going to want to hear it from my lips, right? Wives, look at your husbands and nudge them right there. Hey, amen. You got to tell me you love me. Praise the Lord. You want to hear it from the person that is telling you that they love you. You want them to communicate it themselves. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, he came. Hallelujah. And God didn't send an angel named Gabriel or Michael or one of the others. He sent his only son. Hallelujah. To show us his love. That's why Jesus came. Emmanuel is God's Christmas gift to us. Jesus was God with us. And that gift, Rick Warren said it best. He said, that's the most expensive gift you will ever receive. It's priceless. Jesus paid the price with his life. He said, that's the only gift you'll ever receive that will last forever. Come on now. Think about it. How many gifts have you received that have broken, that you've stashed up in the closet that are rusty or decayed or that you threw away in the trash? Nothing you receive lasts forever, but his gift does. And it's the only gift that you will use every day for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that salvation wasn't just for 1 hour or 1 moment or 1 day. But praise God, his blood is applied to my life. Amen. And it's going to last all the way through everything that I go through throughout eternity. I know we can walk away and backslide and lose our salvation. But if you're walking for Jesus and you're serving him, and you're doing the best you know how, amen, his blood is still applied to your life. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus said on the day, I'm almost done already, on the day that he went into Zacchaeus' house. You remember Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. So what did he do? That short little man, he climbed up in that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Amen. Brother Aaron, can you sing that song for us this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. He wanted to, short of stature, but substantial in seeking. Amen. He was hungry. Zacchaeus knew, I need something different in my life. I got all the things money can buy. Zacchaeus had power, he had prestige, he had homes, he had material things, he had a family, he had servants, but he needed something more. And he was looking that day, hoping maybe if I just see it, maybe that'll satisfy. Maybe that'll be enough. But what Zacchaeus did not know, when he was looking for a Savior, there was a Savior who was looking for him. And I love what Jesus said when he went into Zacchaeus' house that day. At the end of that story, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, Jesus tells us right there, one of the most important things that he came to do was to let every sinner know that your Savior is here and I'm looking for you. I'm not looking for you so I can point out all the things you've done wrong, but so I can make every wrong right in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so while Zacchaeus was seeking his way out, Jesus was seeking his way in. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, when he said, I come to seek, he was talking about intentional seeking. There's times as parents, there's parent hacks. And you can play hide and seek with your kids in the house, and you can be it. And they go hide and you don't go try to find them. That can give you 15 minutes of quiet peace. You can thank me later. That's not why how Jesus came to seek. He was intentional in his seeking. He had a purpose. That word seek, it was intentional seeking. He wasn't talking about how sometimes, you know, I ask my wife where something is and she says that it's in there and I open the door and I just look. It's not in there. And she comes in and she finds it right there. Jesus was looking, amen, with the intention of finding. Glory to God. Seek means to seek with the purpose of finding, to aim, and I love this definition, to crave. Jesus wants you to find salvation. Jesus wants you to be found by his love. Despite what the enemy and others have said about our Lord and Savior, there are lies out there that say God is a God of bloodshed and he hates sinners and he hates people and all that. Listen, God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He actually even said this, I want all men and women to come to repentance. Does that sound like a God who hates mankind and a God of bloodshed? bloodshed? No, sir, it does not. See, he sacrificed his only son so that every person, every man, woman, boy, or girl would have an opportunity to find forgiveness of sin. See, sin, it has to be dealt with. You can't preach about salvation without preaching about hell. Sin has to be dealt with. It must be paid for. And Jesus paid the price for every sin. But you and I, our responsibility on our end is to believe in his sacrifice and his ability to forgive and to cover our sins with that sacrifice. And when we believe in him that he died and rose again, we can come to him with a repentant heart, truly sorry, and ask him to be the Lord and Savior of our lives and forgive us of our sins. And you want to know something about Jesus? He is faithful and just to forgive us of every sin. Think about that word, just. He knows I've got the power and I've done the deed. So when you come to me when you come to him with a repentant heart, that's why he can wipe your slate clean. Hallelujah. And you can walk away free in just a moment. I remember Brother Danny Taylor talking about the day he got saved. He said, my brother went up to the altar with me and he said, I didn't know what I had to do. He said, do I have to repent of all of my sins? Do I have to list everything I've done? And his brother said something like this, no, Danny, just throw them all up into one big ball and give them all to Jesus, and he'll take glory to God. He'll take care of them. I know there are things you did that I never did, and there are things that I did that you never did, but Jesus forgives everything. His blood knows no limitations. He can wipe every heart clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That means at the foot of the cross, it's a level ground. Amen. Everybody, the drug addict or the kid who grew up on the church pew, all at the same level when you come to the cross. We need Jesus. We need salvation, and it's available. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. Hallelujah. He came so you and I would not have to go to hell. He came to heal our sin-sick souls. Church, and I grew up in this thing. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in Sunday school. I knew all the ins and outs of the stories. I knew the scripture. I grew up in a Christian home and went to a Christian school. I was taught scripture every day. But I still was lost. And I was 12 years old at Southern Ohio Youth Camp. And Brother Atkins, amen, thank you, was preaching about salvation. And you remember when he preached, if you were there, he preached a long time. That guy sweat through his jacket, his shirt, his tie. I mean, his tie was wet with sweat. And I remember about 15, 20 minutes in, Aaron, I was like, please quit talking so I can pray. Amen. Because I wanted Jesus, amen, to save me. Because I knew I was lost. I knew I was undone. I knew there had things that had been crept into my life that I was sheltered from just about everything. But I needed Jesus. And that night he was seeking me. Praise the Lord. And this morning he's seeking somebody's heart today. You might have been running, but you ran into the right place this morning. And he's been looking for you, and you know you've been looking for him. You've looked at some other things that didn't satisfy, but you came in here today and you heard about exalting him and lifting him up and adoring him. And you've been sitting at your pew saying, I can't do that. There's something wrong with I can't because I don't know him that way. But today is the day where God ordained for you to come and find him, because he's already been looking for you. That's why Jesus came. He explained it in Luke chapter 15 through the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, how much he is willing to do to find one person who is lost. Amen. If our music could come this morning. To save means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to rescue from danger. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning, you are in danger. But he can save you from danger. If you came in here today and you've walked away from your faith in him, he can heal you. He's right. He's waiting with open arms. You can run to the Father. You can run to Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Salvation from sin is probably the greatest healing of all, because it's a healing of a soul that is sick with an eternal death sentence. But Jesus came to set you free. He came to set me free. He came to set us free, to seek and to save the lost. That word lost, it's a pretty powerful word. It don't just mean like lost like we get sometimes on the road and try to find our way back. But that word lost means perishing, dying, being destroyed, in permanent destruction. And that's the result of sin, permanent destruction. But Jesus, our Messiah, amen. Church, he was not plan B. Let me say that again. Jesus was not plan B. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God did not scramble to figure out what to do next. We read Jesus was the lamb slain from the very beginning, the foundation of the world. That means before God even breathed life into Adam, God had already told Jesus. They already knew it together. They know everything. We're going to create these people. And they're going to betray us. And they're going to let evil reign in their lives. They're going to sin. They're going to mock. They're going to ridicule. They're going to make a wreck of their lives. They're going to kill each other, hurt each other. But we're going to make them anyway, because we're going to show them how much we love them. And we're going to destroy those works of the enemy. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came. I said that's why Jesus came. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let it be healed. Amen. Let it be healed. If you're walking in the way of sin, let it be healed. The Savior's here. Lord, help me. Stand together. I did a study a while ago about tattoos. And tattoos, you know what they are, right? It's a permanent ink blot that they put on your skin. You go in and pay somebody to inject you with needles, with ink, and it's permanent. But your body, the first couple of days, attacks that tattoo. Do you know that? Your body recognizes that's not supposed to be there. And so white blood cells begin to attack that tattoo, try to destroy it. But the ink that they put in there is put in such large molecules that they're too big for any blood cell to carry away. So that blood, your blood, it can't take away that permanent mark that's been placed on your skin. But if you want to get a tattoo removed, you got to go see a physician who knows more about things than you do. and can treat the area and make that ink blot that's there, they burst it into smaller particles. They can't erase it with a magic eraser. They can't go find one of those pink erasers out of their pencil box and scrub on it. They can't find soap that'll take it away, but they can smash up those ink molecules so then your blood, Lord help me, can go to that spot again and begin removing those things. That's like the blood of Jesus, church. Hallelujah. I can't do it on my own. I can't heal my sin-sick soul on my own. That ink spot is there. That stain is there for all eternity, except there's a physician who knows how to take care of it, and his blood is powerful enough to come by and wipe away every stain. And this morning, whatever it is that's not under the blood in your life, you can come to the altar and find forgiveness and deliverance, restoration. Because Jesus came. If there's anybody here right now, I'm going to open this altar and I'm going to make this appeal widespread. All right, if there's anybody in this house this morning, you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, come right now. I know nobody's got their eyes closed and nobody's head is bowed. Just go ahead and make your way to the altar. Amen. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Everybody in this room loves you and wants the best for you, especially Jesus. So if you've got sin in your life that you have not repented of and you need forgiveness, come to the altar right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you just a moment here to respond in that manner. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe it, God. That's why Jesus came. He came to forgive you and set you free. He's looking for you right now in this moment. Right now in this moment, He's looking for you. He's looking at you. And He's saying, just respond. Hallelujah. All you got to do is give it all to Him, and He'll set you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if there's anybody in here today, you're battling the past regrets of sin in your life. You've already given it to Jesus, but the enemy attacks you time and time again and continues to make you identify with who you used to be. Listen, God's already removed that stain. Come on, somebody. He already removed that stain. Those lies have been put to rest. God already set you free. Walk in freedom. Amen. And as you, everybody that will, let's come and find us a place to pray. I want you to pray that thing back under the blood. I want you to just walk away free tonight or today. I want you to walk away knowing that every sin has been covered. Maybe you didn't want to come in the first appeal. That's okay. God wants to set you free and save your soul. If you're here today and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, please make that right with God right now. He loves you too much to leave you by yourself. He loves you too much to let you die in your sin. Oh, come and give it to Jesus.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with.
He bought that forgiveness. Come on, hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus Christ. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that why He came? The poor lost world to save, to carry all our shame. From the blame, oh.